All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's shiur is dedicated by Mrs. Rena Rotenberg in commemoration of the yard site of her husband, Seth's father, Mr. Wolf Rotenberg. Seth, what's the name?
Zev Ben Chaim
Shmuel. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an ongoing and eternal aliyah.
Amen.
So we'll say, so like I said, today's daf is Sadik Dala 94. We are picking up the last two lines of Tzadik Gimel, last line of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. So we read the Mishnah yesterday. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, the Mishnah spoke about a case of a man who was married to four women and then died. So remember again, the Mishnah said that in terms of collection of Kesuvos, one comes before two, two before three, three before four. And then the next part was, one has to take a Shavua to two before going ahead and collecting a Kesuvah. Two Shavua to three, three to four. But the Rabbanan said that the fourth need not take a Shavua, because at the end of the day, again, she's not collecting from anyone, so to speak. Remember, in the previous wives, they have to take a Shavua because there's a concern that maybe the wife was already paid out with something during her husband's lifetime. Benanis, however, disagrees. And Benanis says, no, that even wife number four must go ahead and take a Shavua. So says the Gemara B'Maika Miflagi, what are Benanis and the Rabbanan arguing about? Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, top of Tzadik Dalid, Kigon Shenim says Achas Mehen Sada She'ino Shalom. So I will say, so what's the case over here? So the case over here is where one of the first three wives had collected a field in payment of her ksuva, and it turned out that what? It turned out that in fact the field did not belong to the husband. Or at least I will say what I should say over here. If you look at Rashi, Sada She'ino Shalom, Shenoda She'gazla V'sof She'avo Bailim V'yatluhu Mimeno. Okay, so we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is, let's call it wife number one. So wife number one now realizes, or is now told, that the field that she collected for her ksuba, in fact, was stolen. In fact, was stolen, meaning her husband stole it. So now what's going to happen shortly? What's going to happen is the real owner is going to come by and is going to go ahead and reclaim his property shortly. So Rashi says over here, V'sof she'avo bailim v'yatlu mimeno, k'sheba revias ligvos k'suvasa misade revias ba'azu v'omedes le'mor, l'machar yavo ha'nigzal v'yitol sadeu miyadi, v'nimtzasi karcha, retoni she'tishavi shelo gavis k'suvaseich b'chayibal. So this is what happens in this case. So now it becomes known that the field of wife number one was stolen. Wife number four is getting ready to take her ksuva. So wife number one says, listen, before you take your property, I want you to take a shvur that you've never collected before. Because what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, the real owner of the property is going to come and seize the property from me, which means what? I'm going to go ahead and be propertyless. You, wife number four, now taking the last field in this estate. Which means that tomorrow when my property is seized, or the property that I collected is seized, I'm going to have no recourse. I will have no assets to go back to. So I want you to swear that indeed you are entitled to this property that you have not been paid before. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about a topic that we discussed earlier, which Rabbi say, if you have two creditors, one with an earlier debt, one with a latter debt, and the one with the latter, so the halacha is, the one with the earlier claim has first rights of collection. But let's say the latter creditor goes and collects first. So remember again, we had a machlokas a couple of days ago about whether or not that collection is a bona fide collection or not. So the Gemara suggests that is the machlokas over here. Tanakama savar mashagava logava. Supposed to listen to this. So the Tanakama holds that lemaisa, what the latter creditor collected is in fact not collected. Now, what does that mean for our purposes over here? What that means for our purposes over here is that when it turns out that wife number one had a stolen field, therefore what? Never really collected her ksuva. If she never really collected her ksuva, that means she's in line for collection before wife number four. And therefore, when wife number four seizes her field, that seizure is irrelevant. If it turns out that wife number one, in fact, what? Doesn't have land, so number four's seizure would be halachically irrelevant, and number one would be able to take that field. Therefore, the Tanakhama says there's no need for wife number four to go out and take a shvua. Look at Rashi. Remember, the number one is the Balchov Muktam, the earlier Balchov. Number four is the latter Balchov. And therefore, again, if the property is repossessed from number one, she can go back and take number fours. On the other hand, the Benanas Savar, Masha Gava Gava. Benanas holds another. I will say, if you have two creditors, one an earlier, one a latter one, And what happens? The latter one goes and collects before the earlier one. As much as we say that's not appropriate, lemaisa what? The collection works. And because the collection works, therefore, again, Benanus would say that number four does have to take a shvuah prior to taking the field, because once she takes possession of that field, tomorrow, when the field of number one is seized, number one will not have recourse against number four. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravuha, Dekuli Amar Mashagava, Lo Gava. So I'll say Rav Nachman disagrees. You're supposed to remember this was Shmuel's version of the Machlokes Baran and Benanus. Rav Nachman disagrees. Excuse me, Rav Nachman says the name of Rav Baravuha, Dekuli Amar Mashagava, Lo Gava. Nope. Everyone agrees that if you have a Baal Chov Mu'ukhar and Baal Chov Mukdam, an earlier creditor, a latter creditor, if the latter creditor seizes property before the earlier creditor, such a seizure is not halachically significant, is not valid. So what's the machlokas? V'hacha b'chayshin shema tachsif kamiflagi. But say here what we're concerned about is the following. So therefore, playing this out, therefore again, If there's an issue ultimately again of stolen property, so wife number one is going to be without a field, and even though wife number four took her field already, number one would technically speaking have recourse against number four and would be able to collect her field from number four. We'll discuss why four, not two and three. And then even she'd have the ability to go and collect her property from number four. So what's the issue? What's the machlokis over here? The machlokis is, are we concerned that number four is shema tachsif? Shema Tachsif Rabosa means that are we afraid that number four is going to go ahead and essentially abuse the property? Rabosa, or literally, Tachsif means diminish the property. Now, how do you abuse property? So what that would mean is that you go ahead and pretty much you get everything you can out of that piece of land in the short term to maximize your short-term return without really properly taking care of the property. So when would a person do this? A person would do this when there's a concern that the property they have is going to be taken by another. So I might as well squeeze every little bit of short-term profit out of this field, but often that means the neglect or the actual abuse of the land. So the Gemara Tanakama, I'm sorry, Mar Savar, Chayshinon Shema Tachsif. So we'll say Benanus holds that we're concerned that what? We're concerned that she's going to go ahead and diminish the land. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says the following. So Rashi says over here, Benanus says they were concerned that she's going to go ahead and diminish the land. Remember, I was like, now why would she do this in this case? Because since she already heard that what? That the field of number one was stolen, or I should say that the field that number one possesses is in fact stolen property. So number one is going to go ahead and what? Number one is going to go ahead and potentially repossess the property of number four. Therefore, number four would have a vested interest in just abusing, getting everything out of the land. So Benana says we make her take a shvuah, because the shvuah, Rabbi say, ultimately ensures that she will treat the land with proper respect. Umar Sover, the Rabbanon hold, lo chashin shema tachsif. No, there's no concern that she's going to go ahead and try to diminish or squeeze everything out of the land. Therefore, there's no need for a shvuah. Abai Omer, so Abai says, the Abai kashisha ika benayam. No, the point of contention between the Rabbanon and Benanus is the point of Abai kashisha. What does Abai kashisha say? That Atani Abai kashisha, yisomim sha'amru gidolim. Rabbi say, when we speak about yisomim, meaning when we speak about the idea that if you want to go ahead and take property from Yisomim, that you have to take a shvuah. You have to take a shvuah before taking property. That's even talking about adult Yisomim. Even adult orphans. Look at Rashi. Davai kashisha ika beinahu. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yisomim sha'amru habali pari mehem lo yifra ele b'shvuah. So also remember we established a number of days ago this idea that whenever you want to collect from property of Yisomim, you must always do so with a Shavua. So Abai Kashisha says that doesn't just apply to minor Yisomim, but it applies even to what? It applies even to adult Yisomim. Both the logic behind that being that Yisomim, whether they're young or old, often don't know the affairs of their father's estate. So because of that, if you're going to collect money from that estate, you must do so with a shvuah. So, and it goes without saying that what? That this applies also to Yisomim, to orphans, who are kitanim, who are children. Tanakama, lesle da abaye kashisha. So we'll say the Tanakama does not hold, bless you, of Abaye Kishisha. So therefore, again, the Tanakama therefore does not require number four to go ahead and take a Shavua. Ubenanis is laid down by Kishisha, but Benanis ultimately does hold to Abaye Kishisha, and therefore again, Benanis will go ahead and require her to take a Shavua. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Huna, Hani Tre Achi Utre Shobo say. So three different understandings of the machlokas between Benanis and the Rabbanon. The fundamental machlokas being, does wife number four have to take a shavua? Everyone's agreeing that one, two, and three have to. Does four have to? The Rabbanon say no. Benanis says yes. Now three different understandings and versions into that particular machlokas. Fine. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hani Tre Achi Utre Shutvi. This is actually a very interesting halacha. If you have two brothers, that means two brothers who share in an estate, or utrei shutfi, or two partners in a field. And what's the halacha? The islahu, by the way, it doesn't have to, I said field, doesn't have to be a field. It's two partners in a business. It doesn't matter, field or something else. The islahu dina bahadi. Bahadi chad. And we'll say, so what happens? So you can imagine the following. Reuben and Shimon are either brothers who share a common inheritance, or they're business partners. And they have a machlokas, a business dispute with Levi. Okay, so what happens? So we'll say, what happens? So Reuven goes to Beis Din. Reuven and Shimon are the partners. Reuven goes to Beis Din in order to adjudicate the case against Levi. And what happens? And he loses. Reuven loses. So now what happens? Shimon comes along, and what does Shimon say? Lo matzi idach lemeimarle. Shimon can't say, at lav bal dvarim didi at. So Shimon can't say, well, listen, Reuven was acting on his own behalf. Reuven was acting on behalf of his partnership interest. Levi, I'm suing you now. I'm taking you to Beis Din now what? For my partnership interest. The only reason, of course, Shimon is saying this is why, is because Reuven lost the case. So essentially, he feels that Reuven didn't do a good enough job. Reuven, you're representing yourself. You're 50% of this interest. I'm now taking Levi to court for my 50% of this interest. To which the Gemara says, Lo matzi lemimar le, Allah baldvarim didyat. So Shimon can't make that claim. Ella shlichu se'avad. Rather, Rabbi say we assume that when Reuven adjudicates the case against Levi, the other party, so Reuven is acting on behalf of who? On behalf of the partnership. And therefore, again, Shimon can't come back and say, well, you lost, you didn't do a good job, now I'm going to sue him myself. So the Gemara goes on. Ella shlichu se'avad. Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. So Rav Nachman went to the city of Sura. Shailuhi ki hai gavno. They asked him this type of question. You have Reuven and Shimon who are partners. They have a dispute against Levi. Reuven takes him to Beis Din. Reuven loses. Could Shimon go ahead and then say, Reuven, that was fine. You lost for your interest. Now I'm suing him representing my interest. Amaluhu mas nisin hi. So Rav Nachman answered, well, it's a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Harishonah nishbas l'shnia, u'shnia l'shlishes, u'shlishes l'revias. And we'll say, and remember again, what did our Mishnah say? Four wives, they want to collect their ksuva. So when one wants to collect, she has to swear to two. When two wants to collect, she has to swear to three. And when three wants to collect, she has to swear to four. And yet, v'ilu, rishonah l'shlishes lokatani. Now we'll say, now let me ask you this question. So when wife number one swears, who should she have to swear to? She should have to swear to two, three, and four. Why does the Mishnah only say, and same thing too, right? So two should have to swear to three, four, and one. So why does she only swear to one and not to the others?
Is that the way Shavua is structured? You're actually swearing for the benefit of a person?
Oh, so good. Bar Shekivanta, hold on for 1 second. Hold on. We're going to see that the Gemara's assumption about what Shavua does is mistaken. Hold on. So the Gemara says, my time alav. So why doesn't one have to take a Shavua to two, three, and four? Lav mishon dishlichusa avda. It's because when she swears to two, so wife number two is not just wife number two. Who does she represent? She represents the interests of two, three, and four. To which the Gemara says, and therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here, Rabbi said, that when you have quote-unquote partners. Now remember, even though these wives are not really partners, the only reason they're, so to speak, partners is because of the fact that they all have interests in the same estate. But the point that Rav Nachman is making is that what? Is that Lamaisa, you see that when you have a quote-unquote partnership, so one represents the interests of the whole. To which the Gemara says, "Me dummy, how can you compare those two cases?" Hasam shvua li echad u'shvua lemeya. Both say shvua really is not to an individual. Shvua is about circumstances. So really, what is wife number one swearing? She's not swearing to number two. What she's swearing is about a statement of fact. She's swearing, I swear that I never received payment for my ksuva. So what do you think? She's going to have to make that to wife two, wife three. I mean, it would be illogical that she has to repeat that shvua to every person. She's making a shvua about facts. So that's, of course, only done, that's done once. On the other hand, literally, what does it make a difference if you make a shvua to one person or a shvua to 100 people? Which is another way of saying that lemaisa, shvua is a swearing about objective fact. Once you've established objective fact, that's enough. So the Gemara says, hacha amar ilu ana havi ta'anina tfei. But over here, in the case where Reuven and Shimon are partners, remember, again, after Reuven loses the case, so Shimon says, that's because you're not a good lawyer, right? You're not good. You're not good at arguing the case. You're not articulate, right? You don't have good, whatever he, you didn't present clear and clear arguments. He's saying you did a bad job. So you must say, there, you could hear that, Taino, where Shimon says, you shouldn't have adjudicated this on our behalf because I could have done a better job than you. The Gemara says, so we'll say, so that's the Havamina. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps given those circumstances, Enochinami, Shimon would be able to say to Levi, I know that you went to court with Reuven, but that was Reuven. That was his interest. Now I'm going to sue you myself. The Gemara says, Velo Amran, Ella Delo Ise Bemasa. Furthermore, again, Rabbo says, so one partner can only have a claim against the other partner to say that I'm going to sue the third party myself when the second partner, in this case, Rabbo, remember, just to be clear, Reuven and Shimon are partners in the land, so remember, they're suing Levi, or when I say land, it doesn't matter, they're suing Levi for something else. They have a business dispute with Levi. Shimon took Levi to Beis Din. Reuven took Levi to Beis Din. Reuven lost. Shimon says, fine, now I'm suing Levi because you lost for your interest. Now I'm suing Levi for my interest. So now with the Gemara is actually holding is entertaining the idea that actually that would work. That would actually work. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, Shimon could have the claim and say, you didn't do a good job adjudicating the case. I could have done a better job. So the Gemara says, even if you want to entertain the possibility that Shimon could have that claim, that's only when Delo Isi Bemasa. When Shimon wasn't in town, when Reuven was adjudicating the case against Levi. However, aval isei b'masa, but if Shimon was in town, when Reuven was suing Levi, then what's the halacha? He should have come to court. So again, even if you want to entertain it, there is this possibility of one partner to say to the other partner that Lemaisa, again, you didn't represent our interests well, therefore I want to represent my own interests. That's only if he didn't have a chance to represent his interests when the original case was going on. But when the original case was going on, Shimon was in town, he could have showed up in Beis Din and argued his point, but he didn't. He was liar, he was lazy, whatever it is, Lemaisa, he would not have any recourse. So it is interesting to see that although we normally assume that when two people are in a partnership, so when one acts, they're representing the partnership, you do see over here that Lemaisa, one partner could have a claim against the other partner that you did not represent our claims sufficiently and appropriately, and therefore, technically speaking, under certain circumstances, the second partner would have the ability to reopen the case against the third party. It's quite interesting. In any event, obviously these are more complicated choshen mishpatabis. We'll actually get when we see in the babas about the laws of partnership, so we'll discuss these things. But I understand the only reason this was brought down, not obviously nothing to do with our Gemara, the only reason this was brought down is because Rav Nachman wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah. So therefore, again, that's the tie-in. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Beis Shtaros Hayotzim, Biyom Echad. That was another very interesting case. Let's say there are two Shtaros, two documents, that are Yotzim Biyom Echad, that both are dated the same. Now, if you look at Rashi says over here, Beishtaris, Machar Sada Achas L'Shnei B'nei Adam Yom Echad. So we'll say, so I guess you could call this either a shrewd businessman or a criminal, right? I guess it depends on your perspective. So he sold,
Fine line,
right? So he went ahead and he sold the same field to two people. Right. Now, the chap that he sold it is not a big deal. The chap that they bought it, right? So he sold the same field to two people. And here's the interesting part, is he sold it to them both on the same day. So Reuven and Shimon show up in Beis Din, and they both have the same document dated on the same date that highlights the claim to the same field. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Rav Amar Cholkin. So Rav says they split it, right? Meaning, what are you supposed to do? Meaning, you have two people who have equal claims. The only way to go and establish this is we split the field. We split the field. Shmuel and Shmuel says no. Shuda the daini. And I will say shuda the daini is very interesting. Shuda the daini means judicial discretion. That we let the judges. It's up to the judges to decide who they think should be the owner of land. And I will say again. Remember, so shuda the daini is an incredibly subjective process. Essentially, what it requires is the judges to do their due diligence about the relationship between the seller and the two parties. You know, the evidence, is there any reason to suspect that one has more? So that's what Shmuel says. Shuda the daini. Shuda the daini is a fascinating idea by itself. When there's a total lack of evidence, you have to leave it to judicial discretion. So the Gemara says the following: Lema Rav Damakar Meir Damar Edi Chasim Makarsi. So we'll say the Gemara wants to suggest now that Rav holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds Edi Chasim Makarsi. Now we'll say so Edi Chasim Makarsi is by Gittin, which we'll get to Mir Tzashem. That when it comes to a get, what makes a get a valid document of divorce is the fact that witnesses sign on it. And we'll say that's another way of saying that a shtar is a self-contained entity. That the beauty of a shtar is, as long as you have witnesses who signed on it, that shtar is good to go. There is no other independent verification that must be done. So both sides, therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, Rav holds like Rabbi Meir, who is Edi Chasim Makarsi. Therefore, Rav says, when two people show up in Beis Din, and what? And they're both holding a bona fide, halachically valid shtar. So lemaise, again, there is nothing to do other than go ahead and split the property. Shmuel on the base. Shmuel on Shmuel Damer Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. What does Rabbi Elazar say? The Amr Edim is Sira Karsi. So what's Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that no, it is the witnesses that sign on the shtar that ultimately go ahead and create the effectiveness of the shtar. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says Shmuel Damer Rabbi Elazar. The Amr Afa Pi Shein Alav Edim Ela Shenasnu Bifnei Edim. Here's the chiluk. Say this outside. Now, what does edim esira karsi mean? Edim esira means that it's not the witnesses who sign on the shtar that create the effectiveness, but rather what? It's the witnesses who ultimately deliver the shtar and claim b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. This document was written before me, was signed before me. Then I will say, now what does that mean? What that means is that a shtar, what's written in the shtar, is not the be-all, end-all of the shtar. What we'll call the human component, in this case the dialogical component of the Eidim Mesira, is still an important part of the shtar. What that means is, just because something is written down, that's not the end of the story. There may be some additional pieces as well. So the Gemara is making a fascinating suggestion over here. The Gemara is suggesting that Rav who holds Cholkin, too, got Reuven and Shimon show up with the same title, with the same document, tied them to the same field. So they both have proper shtaras. So once you've got a shtar, you've got a shtar. Nothing more to talk about. Cholkin, we split it. Shmuel says that's not how shtaras work, right? There are still additional components even once there's a shtar, and therefore again Shmuel would hold that. What? Now they both show up with shtaras. I understand. Now it's our job to what? To investigate what's really going on, and therefore again we allow this case to be decided via judicial discretion. To which the Imar says, "Lo, no, nice try, but no." The Kuli Alma Rabbi Elazar. I will say, in fact, everyone holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says Edim Mesira Karsi, that it is the witnesses who give over the get that create the effectiveness of the document. So what's happening over here? Bahacha Behakim Miflagi. Here is the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. What are they arguing about? So the Mar says Rav Savar, Rav holds Chaluka Adifa Ushmuel Avar Asavar Shuda the Daini Adifa. Both say this is amazing. They have a much simpler machlokes. We'll say Rav holds that when in doubt, the best thing to do is to split it. When in doubt, just split it. Shmuel says that's not true. We'll say now the truth is Rav's logic sounds pretty sound. Two guys show up, both have equal claim, or both have equal strength, split it. Shmuel argues. Why does Shmuel argue on that? But we'll say why? Because for sure it's not correct, right? Because Lemaisa, again, one guy owns the field, one guy owns. You can't have two owners of the same exact field. So therefore, again, Shmuel holds, so Rav holds, just go with the most basic approach, which is Chalukah, Pshara. So Shmuel holds, it's not true. You're better off trying to see who actually is the true owner of the field. Umi matzis mukmas lay l'Rav k'Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara is kind of circling back for just a moment. So the Gemara said, now you just said before, everyone holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says, Eidei Mesira Karsi, but is that really true? V'ha amarav Yehuda amarav, Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar begitin. So Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar in Gittin, Rabbi Lozer, remember again, I want to point out the machlokes between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Meir about Edei Mesira Karsi, Edei Chasima Karsi, is not just a din by get. It's also a din by what? By regular shtars. Meaning, how you create the effectiveness of a shtar, either through signatures or through Edei Mesira, is a fundamental dispute that goes throughout the realm of shtaros. So the Gemara says that Rav is on record as saying that Allah Chavaz Rabbi Lozer begitin, ki amri say kamin de Shmuel, when they said this over from the Shmuel Amar, af bishtaros. Shmuel said, no, the Allah Chavaz Rabbi Lozer, even what to Bozai, even in the realm of shtaros. Now the fact that Shmuel said af bishtaros indicates to us what? Mechlal de Savar Rav, the Rav Savar bishtaros lo, which indicates to us what Rabbi Bozai, that as much as Rav holds that the Allah Chavaz Rabbi Lozer, in the case of Gittin, he does not subscribe to Rabbi Lazar's view when? In the case of Shtaros. So the Gemara says, Ela nechavarta Rav k'Rabbi Meir. So rather, again, it appears, like we said before, that Rav, in fact, holds, like Rabbi Meir, Edei Chasima Karsi, and therefore, again, the document stands on its own once there are signatures of witnesses, and therefore, the Ma'isaf, Reuven and Shimon show up with the same document, entitling them to the same piece of land. They split that piece of land equally. Ushmuel k'Rabbi Lozer, and Shmuel who holds Shuda the Dayani says that no, there is the ability, there is an additional component over here that allows the Dayan to really explore who is the true owner of this particular piece of land. Meisvei, the Gemara raises a kasha. Shnei shtaros hayotzim miyom echad. We'll say if you have two shtaros that emerge on the same day. Right, so both say, you remember, it's the same case. Reuven and Shimon both go ahead and show up, and they both have a document that says that they are the owners of field A. So what's the halacha? The halacha is cholkin. We split the field, to which the Gemara says, oh, to you, to the Shmuel. The boss said, it's a few Shmuel, because what does Shmuel say? Shmuel was the one who said, shuda the daini. Right? Shmuel was the one who ultimately said that what? That lemaisa, again, we go ahead and we allow for judicial discretion. Amar lecha Shmuel. So the boss said, Shmuel would say to you, no, it's not a problem. Hamani, Rabbi Meir. The boss say, whose opinion does that b'raisa reflect? That price reflects Rabbi Meir, va'anad amik Rabbi Lozer, and I hold like Rabbi Lozer, e Rabbi Meir. But yet, if you want to say it's Rabbi Meir, ema seifa. Look at the end of that price. Kasav leechad umasar leacher. But say, listen to this. If the owner of the land wrote two shtaros, right, one conveying ownership to Reuven and one conveying ownership to Shimon, so he goes ahead and he writes up the shtar to Reuven first. But he gives over the shtar to Shimon first. So what's the halacha? Zeh shemasar lo kana. The one who ultimately received the shtar first is what? Is the true owner. So also, remember, in this case over here, he wrote the shtar to Reuven first, then wrote the shtar to Shimon, but then delivered the shtar to Shimon first before Reuven. So the Braisa rules that essentially whoever is in receipt of the document first, he is the true owner. Ve'i Rabbi Meir. And if you want to say that the Braisa reflects with Rabbi Meir, Amai Kona, why would Shimon be Kona the field in that case? Ha'omer Edi Chasima Karsi. Yet Rabbi say, Rabbi Meir says what? Rabbi Meir says that Lamaisa, again, Edi Chasima Karsi, which should mean what, Rabbi say? That as soon as witnesses sign on the shtar, that shtar is valid, which would then mean what? That the field should belong to Reuven, because Reuven's shtar became the effective shtar first, to which the Gemara says, Tanoihi. In reality, this whole thing is a machlokes Tanoim. This Sanya, because we learned the Chachamim Omrim Yachloku, the Chachamim said that you should go ahead and split. Rabbi said, now look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, Tanaihi, Ikalamanda Amar Shuda Adif, Ikalamanda Amar Chaluka Adif. So we'll say there are some people that say that a split is better, and there are some people that say that a Shuda, that judicial discretion is better. So we'll say, so therefore again, it's Machlokis Tanaim about what you should do. The Khan, but here means Bavel. In Bavel Amru, Mashiyirtza Hashlish Yaseh. But here in Bavel, what do they say? But here in Bavel, they say that whatever the Shlish, what ultimately again, whatever the third party wants to do, ultimately again should be done. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vechachamim Omrim, Rashi says over here, Vechamrom Bishili Parakamadigin Holech Manalaploni. If a person says, well, see, here's the case. The case over here is a person says, I say to the Shliach, go give money to Ploni. Or Rashi says, Reuven says to the Shliach, go give money to Ploni, and what happens? V'halachu b'kshov v'lo matzo. And what happens? The shliach goes to find Ploni, and he can't find Ploni. Why? V'lo matzo shemes. Ultimately, again, because Ploni died. Yachzuram l'mishaleach. So ultimately, again, the shaliach has to bring the money back to Reuven, to the mishaleach. Meis ha-mishaleach. I will say, so what happens if in the interim Reuven died, the Mishaleach died as well, Yachzul Yershim, so the agent should give the money back to the heirs of Reuven. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, Yachloku Yershim Mishaleach v'Yershim Mishinishtalchulo. The Chachamim say, no, in this case over here, the inheritors of the Yershim, the inheritors of the Mishaleach, and the inheritors of the intended recipient of the money of Ploni should split the money. In this case over here, so the opinion says that Lamaisa, the Shaliach, has the discretion to give the money to me once. Because we also remember in this case over here, what ends up happening now is, so Reuven sent the Shaliach to go deliver money to Ploni. Ploni died, he gets back, Reuven died. What should Shaliach do with the money? So the Gemara essentially says the Shaliach has the discretion to do with the money as he pleases. The meaning of Rabbi say that the Shaliach may say, well, I know that Reuven really would have wanted the heirs of Ploni to have this money. He could deliver it to them. Or he could say, no, I don't think he would have wanted the heirs. He just wanted Ploni to have the money, in which case Shaliach would return the money to the heirs of Reuven. The point the Gemara is making is what? Is that Lamaisa, the Shaliach has discretion. That's the equivalent of Shuda Dadaini. So you see from here again that Lamaisa against Machlokes Tanoim. So some saying again that in this case they should split. Others saying that Lamaisa again, there's Shuda Dadaini, there's judicial discretion. Ime, Drami Bar Chama, Kasvil Lunachazi, Drami Bar Chama, but Safra, this is an interesting case. The mother of Rami Bar Chama wrote all of her property to Rami Bar Chama in the morning. Meaning, one morning, she wrote all of her property to her son Rami Bar Chama. La'arta, that evening, Kasvinhu Lamar Ukva Bar Chama, she wrote it to her, she has two sons, Rami and Mar Ukva. So in the morning, the mother wrote all of her property to Rami. That evening, she wrote all of her property to Mar Ukva. Only one problem, I will say, which is what? Same property. So who is the owner? So what happened? So Rami Bar Chama lekamei Rav Sheshes. So Rami Bar Chama went to Rav Sheshes. And what did Rav Sheshes paskin? Ukmei b'nechasa. Rav Sheshes paskin that Rami, you are the owner of the property. Asa Mar Ukva lekamei Rav Nachman. Yet Mar Ukva went to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman, ukmei b'nechasa. And blessing Rav Nachman said, Mar Ukva, you are the owner of the property. So I will say again, remember, Rami who received it in the morning went to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, you are the owner of the property. Mar Ukva went to Rav Nachman. And again, Mar Ukva received it that evening. Rav Nachman said, you are the owner of the property. So also Rav Sheshes came to Rav Nachman. So also Rav Sheshes came to Rav Nachman. And he said, Amarle mai taima avid mar hachi. Why did you do this? Right? So remember, Rav Sheshes is asking Rav Nachman, why did you award the property to Mar Ukva, who received it in the evening? Amarle mai taima avid mar hachi. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Sheshes, well, why did you award the property to Rami, who received the property in the morning? So Rav Sheshes, oh, well, I'm easy. Amar Le, Rav Sheshes responds, Vikadim, what are you talking about? Of course, you know why I gave the property to Rami, because Rami got it first. Right, Rami got it first, meaning Rami was given that property in the morning. So to which Rav Nachman responds, Amar Le, Atu Yerushalayim Yasvinan, Dikasvinan Shos. Do you live in Yerushalayim, where they write hours into the documents? Remember, we saw this yesterday, that in Yerushalayim, they would record not just the date, but what? They would record the times in the document itself. So therefore, again, I will say, Rav Sheshes wanted to say that Rami Bar Chama should get the property because he got it first. To which Rav Nachman responds, from a contractual perspective, Rami Bar Chama has no earlier claim than what? Than his brother Mar Ukva. Why Rabbi say? Because amazingly enough, the same date is recorded in their shtaros. So because the same date, therefore their claims are absolutely equal. Therefore you have no right to go ahead and award the property to Rami based on the fact that he has an earlier claim. For both of them, it both says the 15th of Iyar. Or it was today. Today's the 18th of Iyar. Right? It says Rofim, it says the 18th, right? It says Yurches Iyar. So therefore again, Rami has no earlier claim than his brother. So the Gemara goes on. Ella Mar Mai Taima Avidahi, to which Rav Sheshes says to Rav Nachman, why did you award the property to Mar Ukva, who didn't receive it until that night? Amarle Shuda Dadaini, to which Rav Nachman responded, it was judicial discretion. Right, I use my judicial discretion. In other words, we both say, so what that means is, now judicial discretion doesn't just mean, you know, I did eeny, meeny, miny, mo. What judicial discretion means is, look, I know the family. You know, both say, I guess it's true what they say, that every family has a favorite, right? And I know that Lamaisa, again, so the mother would have rather her property go to Mar Ukva than to go to Rami. That's why I paskin the way that I paskined.
I don't are they saying it was written the same time, but
no, same day. Same day. The Gemara doesn't seem to be focusing on that piece. The Gemara doesn't seem to be focusing on when it was written or not. This is sidestepping a little bit of the Eide Mesira or Eide Chasima. But the point over here is it's written on the same day. That's the point that they're dwelling on. So the date of the Shtar, no one has prior precedence to the other. So the Gemara says like this. So therefore, Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman responds, I use Shuda Dedaini. I use judicial discretion. So the Gemara says, and actually, if you look at Rashi says over here, so say this is really addressing your point. So Rashi's saying that this only works if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi. Because if you hold Eidei Chasima Karsi, then Lemaisa, again, the Shtar that's written earlier does in fact have precedence. So Lemaisa, again, but leaving that aside for now, look how Rashi ends over here. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, Veli Nira Shezeh HaYechaviv LaYoser. I happen to know that the mother liked Mar Ukva better than she liked Rami. Vikadma umasra l'tchila. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, again, I think that she would want him to have the property. So this is it. So we'll say, so Rav Sheshes responds, Amarle, Ananami Shuda Dedaini. So Rav Sheshes says, well, if you're going to play Rav Nachman, if you're going to play the Shuda Dedaini card, I could also play the Shuda Dedaini card. Right? Oh, you're right. You know, now the truth is, I think that really the mother would have wanted Rami to have the property. So Amarle, this is amazing. So Rav Nachman responds to Rav Sheshes, first of all, Amarle, Chada da'ana daina umar lav daina. Number one, you're not a dayan. I will say, remember again, so remember there's a chilik between being a rav and being a dayan, right? Remember again, even today it's two different smichos. A person can have a yori yori smicha, yad yon smicha. So nachas Rav Sheshes, you're a great talmid chacham, but you're not a dayan, right? You don't sit on bat eidin, you don't adjudicate cases. So number one, the ability for you can't claim shuda d'daini, because shuda d'daini is a function of being a dayan, and you are not a dayan. Va'od me'ikara lav betara sachi asislei. Furthermore, again, you know you're being disingenuous. Why? Because that's not the reason you paskin that the property should go to Rami Bar Chama. That's why what you said from the beginning, that's what? From the beginning you said that Lamaisa, the only reason you awarded it to Rami Bar Chama is because he was Kadim, because he came first, not because of Shuda Dedaini. It's only what? And I'll say, you know, sometimes you have arguments like this with people. It's only now once you realize that your original argument is not good, that's what? Now you're claiming Shuda Dedaini. That's not right. Yeah, you know, you have to be honest in your arguments. Another case. Hano Trey Shtari. What's another case over here? Hano Trey Shtari. There were two documents. The Asa Lekameh Rav Yosef that came before Rav Yosef. Chad Havakasov v'chamisha b'nisan v'chad Havakasov be b'nisan stama. This is a very interesting case. So Reuven and Shimon show up with two documents, right? And again, remember, same case, same field. One document says, Reuven's document says that he bought the field on the 5th of Nisan, and Shimon's document just says that what? That he bought it in Nisan Stama. He bought it in the month of Nisan, without any actual day of Nisan, just the statement that he bought it during Nisan. So Rav Yosef went ahead and paskind that the one who has the shtar that says that he bought it on the 5th of Nisan, he has priority, right? He gets the property. Amar le'id, so the Gemara said, now why is that? If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Rashi just says, Hano treshtari shal mecher, sheyatsu asada achas. So same case, two people come with the same document for the same piece of land. So Rav Yosef said, look, the guy who has the shtar that says the 5th of Nisan, he at least has a date. So the problem is the guy who just has Stam Nisan, what does Stam Nisan mean? Stam Nisan could be before, could be after, but Lamaisa, so we don't know. But the one who has the 5th of Nisan has a definitive claim on a particular date, therefore given the property. So Amar le'idach, va'ana afsid. So the other guy who just had the documents that said Nisan said, and I should lose out. Amar le, to which Rav Yosef responded, Yodcha ala tachtona. Yes, you're at a disadvantage. Ema bar bechavtes b'nisan at. Your document says Nisan, but that can mean the 29th day of Nisan. It could be the last day of the month of Nisan. Therefore, there's no way I could award you the property over the document that says the 5th of Nisan. Amar Levi Nichtov Li Mar Tirfa Meir Ve'elach. So I'll say, listen to this. So now, fine. So we'll call him Shimon. So Shimon, who had the document that just said Nisan, so he accepts Rav Yosef's ruling that he's not going to get the property. But he says to Rav Yosef, at least write me what's called Rav Yosef Shtar Tirfa. Shtar Tirfa means the document of collection. Because we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where both Reuven and Shimon both bought the property from Yaakov, and they bought it with Achrayus. So Achrayus means what? That now, if for some reason that property is taken from you, the seller agrees to make you whole. So now what happens? So Shimon, who now lost the property because his document just said Nisan, he lost it through, and his document said the fifth, who said the fifth of Nisan. So ultimately, again, he says, fine, Rav Yosef, at least go ahead and write for me a shtar tirfa, write for me a collection document from ER and on. From ER and on, you know, meaning allow me to collect properties from ER and on. People say, what that means is over here, here's the problem. When Shimon has the document that says, I bought this property in Nisan, so we don't know what that means. Does that mean the first of Nisan, the last day of Nisan, and therefore the only way he'll be able to collect encumbered properties is really as of ER and on, after Nisan. So the Gemara says, Amrlei, Yachli lemeimar lecha at bar chad Nisan, at. So I'll say, here's the problem. See, Rabbo say, listen to this. When Shimon shows up, and he goes ahead and he wants to repossess sold properties, we'll pick up with this case tomorrow. But when Shimon shows up and he wants to collect encumbered properties, technically speaking, the person who has sold properties could say to him, well, you don't have any claim, because for all you know, you actually were the guy, you actually had an earlier claim than the 5th of Nisan guy. If you had an earlier claim than the 5th of Nisan guy, then the property that the 5th of Nisan guy should have really been yours. If the property at the 5th of Nisan guy should have really been yours, then what? Then you have no right to go ahead and repossess my property in satisfaction. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, let's just finish this. So the Gemara says, my takante, so what should they do? Nichtavu harsha lahadadi. They should literally, the 5th of Nisan guy, shreida harsha, should, in other words, appoint him as an agent. In other words, Rabbi said, listen to this. So really, the only way that the Reuven with the Nisan shtar will be able to collect is how? Is if he goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, listen, I'm happy for you that you got the property that says the 5th of Nisan. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to write to me, Rabbi, what's called the shtar harsha. Shtar harsha means an agency document. So I'm going to go now to properties that were sold past ER. Right past the yard, because I now need to collect for the property that I no longer have. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead, and I'm going to tell the purchaser like this. I don't have a property, which means you owe me property. I will say, I'm not articulating this case clearly. Let me just articulate this for just one moment. So the idea over here is you have Reuven and Shimon, who both bought a property from Yaakov. Now, it turns out Reuven's document just says Nisan. Shimon's document says 5th of Nisan. Rav Yosef Paskin, who gets the property? Shimon, 5th of Nisan. But here's the issue. Reuven bought the property with Achrayus, which means now he has the right to collect other properties that Yaakov sold. Now, the problem is, of course, he only has the ability to collect as of when? From ER and on. Because since his document is dated Nisan, Nisan could be Chavtes Nisan. So the only time we know that he could collect as of is from ER and on. What's the problem? Reuven's going to show up and he's going to try to collect property. And remember, again, Yaakov went ahead and sold another property to Levi. So Reuven's going to show up and say, Levi, listen, I no longer have a property. Yaakov sold you this property on the 2nd of ER, which means it's encumbered to me. So now that I no longer have a field, I'm taking your field in satisfaction of Yaakov's obligation to me. So what could Levi claim to Reuven? Levi claims to him, for all I know, your entitlement really was also the 1st of Nisan, in which case, again, you are really own the property that Shimon has. Your claim is not against me. Your claim is against Shimon. That's a legitimate claim. The only way that Reuven could ultimately collect this how is if he says to Shimon, listen, let me act as your agent. Let me act as your agent in this process. Then what happens, Rabbi Osai? When Reuven shows up to Levi, so he says to Levi, listen, Levi, I'm here because I had a document that was dated Nisan and the court awarded the property to Shimon, and therefore, again, I'm here to satisfy my achrayus by seizing your property. And if Levi says, well, one second, I'm not talking to you because you should talk to Shimon about the property, he owns the property, even if that's true, so let's say that's fine. Let's say it's Shimon owes me the property, then what? I'm here on behalf of Shimon. And therefore, Rabbi Osai, because he's representing the interest of both parties, therefore, Lamaisi will be able to collect from property that was sold after the 1st of the year. All right, Rabbi Osai. after the first of Iyar.
Oh,
okay, after the first of
Iyar.
Correct. You still can't go back because there is still correct because there's still no because there's still that ambiguity in terms of what Nisan means. So therefore, again, the only time that you could collect as of is the first of Iyar and on. But this way, he's representing both interests: his interest, Shimon's interest, and one way or another, he's able to collect that land.
Why couldn't he get Shimon's?